It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. What is good, everybody? Hope you had a great day at work on this Super Tuesday. Making your way home. A loaded final couple hours for you today between 5 and 7 p.m. The new show, of course, is 4 hours, 3 to 7 p.m., and it is awesome to have you with us. I'll tell you, Alonzo, having been here now a year, you can sense and you can feel kind of the momentum and the growth with the show. I feel like now as a host, like a year ago, I had no idea who we were reaching and are we connecting with people? You always worry about that as a sports show host. And now I feel connected to the community. You know, now I feel like we're here doing our show and the community is listening to us where they're going, on their phones, on the radio.com app, at work, at home, in between, in the cars. And it is awesome to be, it's an honor to be a part of your afternoon each and every day. We have grown in spite of you, Alonzo. So it's incredible how that works out.
There are no words because the over-under and whether I would make it a year with you, I don't know who won the bet on that, but...
Yeah, grow a mustache.
I feel kind of sad.
Yeah, grow a mustache. By the way, did you see my new picture of the mustache? I have posted, if you guys would be so kind, go to our Facebook page, ESPN Upstate on Facebook, and Lonzo is saying, you know, I'm saying that I'm doing the best I can. I can't really grow a mustache, but if you look at the picture on ESPN Upstate, I think I'm doing a pretty good job. I'm doing the best of my ability. And I've just posted it, and I've said we're having an ongoing dispute on Offsides, and I need your help. I lost our football picks bet to Lonzo and need to rock a mustache. So do I get credit for this? Folks, it's really the best I can do. And Lonzo, if you look at the picture here, that, my friends, is a mustache. You know, you just you
had, so you hid the beard with your headphones. Way to go!
No, what are you talking
about?
No,
you hid the beard with your headphones. Yes, you did. You did.
What are you talking about?
Okay, all right. You hid the beard with your headphones. There was a better picture there, by the way, but he took it down.
No, wait a minute. But you had bad lighting in that picture.
Here's the thing. You know, I tweeted it out on my Twitter, which he can't remove. So if you want to see what the picture actually looks like, go to my Twitter.
Yeah, there's the picture.
Yeah,
Lonzo, I never even thought that I had headphones on in that picture.
Yeah,
I mean,
right,
come on.
Right. You hit it with your beard. You know, my problem with this, and kudos for you halfway, because you came in and you tried to pay up on the bet.
I tried.
To the best of your ability, yes. Supposedly. But
yes.
you half-bootied it, in my opinion. Here's the thing. You know, I lost a bet and had to wear a dress. Did I wear half a dress? No. I went full-on dress. You know why? Because when a man pays his debts, he pays his debts. That's all I'm saying. That's all I'm saying.
This is the piece of equipment that I have, and I have.
Oh, we can remedy that.
I have shown you that my attempts to shave this mustache the entire show, Lonzo. Am I not making every attempt to get every last hair off of my face here? I think I'm doing a heck of a job.
The funny part, your buddy Patrick Creighton tweeted something towards me and said I should introduce you to Steve Martin's barber. Or their dentist.
No,
yes.
No, please. That's not encouraged by anybody. It's not appreciated by me.
So the only person who's on your side is Jordan Kuhns, and you just did, you begged him to be on your side, and he felt sorry for you, so he did.
He was very much on my side, ladies and gentlemen. This is a mustache. This is a man's mustache that I'm rocking right now. All right, it is time for the top five at five. We bring to you the top five topics of the day, the top five topics that we are talking about, and the top five at five starts right now.
If there's a razor in the house, bring it upstairs right now.
The new top five at five is campy as hell, isn't it? It is really campy. I was telling Patrick Brown yesterday that it feels like I'm taking part in a Richard Simmons jazzercise class when that starts.
By the way, that got added later. Thanks to me.
Yes, it did. Did it?
Yes,
okay.
It did.
Okay.
You're welcome.
Fantastic. The top five at five starts now. You know, from joking around to not too much fun, actually, I don't know if you saw this video, Lonzo, but there was video yesterday of Delonte West remember that Delonte West, former NBA player, played for St. Joe's, played for the Boston Celtics and many other teams in the NBA. He has mental illness, and there is video of him getting beaten up in the middle of the road, and then video of him cursing and saying that he's the president of the United States. And anybody that grew up, you know, like, to me, I loved Jameer Nelson at St. Joe's. I loved he and Delonte West. We've had their head coach on, Phil Martelli, on the show over the course of my career. And I love those guys. And so to see Delonte West struggling so mightily with his life and where he is and getting beaten up on the side of the road and all that stuff was, it was just, I don't know, man. It was just so hard to see, and it made me kind of want to use our platform here to make a public service announcement. Folks, there's been times in my life where I was really depressed. You know, at both times I lost my engagements. I've been engaged twice, never married. I was incredibly depressed when both of those relationships ended. And I don't think any one of us is immune from the grasp of depression and or mental illness. I really don't. And so if you are in any way are suffering, please let's remove any stigma that exists for that from that. You've heard me say as much as I can on this show, I go to counseling. I speak to a counselor. I go to therapy. I think it's incredibly healthy. I think it's incredibly helpful. And I don't believe that there's anything wrong with people that do that in any way, shape, or form. And I think it's so incredibly unhealthy that people feel like there's a stigma or that they have to hide it. I think it's just a very, very healthy thing to do. And I'm worried for Delonte West, and I'm worried for you if you are feeling down about things and you don't do something to help yourself, all right? So I always try to take a sad story and try to spin it in a positive way if I can. And definitely want anybody out there that's suffering to get the help that they need. Next up, at number four, Tim Tebow has gotten married. Ladies and gentlemen, Tim Tebow is married. This is incredible, incredible news. Congratulations to Tim. He married Miss South Africa, and they got married in South Africa. Reportedly, this wedding went down yesterday. You could tell it was happening. If you're a fanboy like me, Lonzo, and you follow Tim Tebow on Twitter and Instagram and all that stuff, you could tell that he was there for a wedding. They didn't make any announcements on the when or anything, but they were posting pictures of dinners and formal events, and he's in South Africa and so on and so forth. And, you know, like the sports radio crowd, that what they're really going to focus on is the fact that Tim Tebow now must no longer be a virgin, because he was proclaiming that he was going to remain a virgin until he was married. And now at this point, I am left to deduce that that is no longer the case. Your analysis of Tim Tebow's wedding night, Lonzo.
I'm sure it was a wonderful experience for both Tim and his wife.
You handled that in a way that only Lonzo could. Very well done. Very well done. Tim, congratulations in all seriousness. Very, very proud of you, and wish you all the best moving forward in your life. Happily married, happily ever after with Demi Lee, the South African beauty queen. Yes, Lonzo.
Oh, nothing. I'm just shaking my head at how you try to trap me sometimes.
It's a beautiful thing, isn't it? It is really, really an absolutely positively beautiful thing. All right. All right. Next up, at number three right now, let's go to clip number seven. And we talk about the Super Bowl, and we talk about what Pat Mahomes is doing. And everybody's saying right now the consensus is the way he's playing is he's the best quarterback in the NFL. He might be the best player in the NFL. Have we reached a new level of intimidation from defenses in the National Football League? Here's ESPN's Lewis Riddick.
You actually start looking at him across the line of scrimmage going, here he comes. Mm-hmm. Is he going to do it to us too? And you almost start becoming mesmerized over the fact that he's got a 4x1 relay team at wide receiver, and he's got an arm that's just like go-go gadget arm. Okay, so you're just like, I don't even know if I have anything to really compete with this guy.
Yeah, and they don't, and nobody does. And they say that you can't play zone against Pat Mahomes, but if you play man, the cheetahs that they have on the field just run away from you. You know, this has me believing, ladies and gentlemen, and wishing for the days of yesteryear where you were actually able to body up people defensively. You've seen Tyreek Hill. That's a small dude, right? I mean, he's got tree trunk legs. I get it. He's got 0.2% body fat. I get it. But in the old school in the National Football League, you used to be able to shove that guy to the ground, you know? Now you do that, it's pass interference, it's personal foul, it's, you know, unnecessary roughness, it's, you know, illegal contact, all of these different things. And it's created a situation where the Kansas City Chiefs are largely defenseless, indefensible. I don't know what you're supposed to do against them. You know, and I do think it's interesting to look at what San Francisco will try to do. They were very effective. They were very effective against Green Bay. They were very effective against Aaron Rodgers. Aaron Rodgers, to his point, believes that the game may have had a different outcome if the location in which it was played was different.
I think we're really close. I think we're just a little more consistent performance away from consistently playing with these guys, but we got them at home, their place twice. I've said this before, you know, we got to get one of these at home. It's a different ball game. It's different playing in 20 degree weather and snow, cold and wind is a different type of game than playing here.
Are the Packers close, Lonzo? They didn't look very close to me.
No,
I don't. I don't think they're close from a talent perspective. The defense has improved. It's not in San Francisco's class. The offense has Devontae Adams and what else? It's fair to start to wonder if you're wasting the prime years of Aaron Rodgers' career. Have we seen the best of Aaron Rodgers? Has the best of Aaron Rodgers come and gone? Next up, much is being made about the free agency of Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady. Folks, am I the only one here that doesn't really give a damn? I mean, I'm kind of over Phillip Rivers, and I'm kind of over Tom Brady, and I kind of think both of them are well past the point where they're going to help a team get over the hump in any way, shape, or form. Phillip Rivers wanted Adam Schefter to know yesterday that he's left California permanently. Okay, yeah, well, you left playing good football permanently 5 years in the rearview mirror as well. All right? Tom Brady is dropping hints. I think he's known all year that he's out of New England. But he's now dropping hints. He's you know, so to massage the feelings of the New England Patriots fans like Diddy and other people, he's dropping subtle hints. I don't see myself retiring. You never know what could happen in free agency. He's going elsewhere, folks. The thing is, he's done. He's cooked. Phillip Rivers is done. He's cooked. Lonzo, what am I missing here? I don't understand why there's such a market for these guys. In Tampa, they're going nuts at the possibility of adding Phillip Rivers. He sucks now. What am I missing? He's awful. Tom Brady, people are going nuts about the possibility of Tom Brady coming to the Chargers. What is Tom Brady going to do for a 5-11 team with no Bill Belichick there? And Tom Brady can't throw out routes anymore. He can't throw the ball 50 yards down the field anymore. I don't get what this to me is much ado about nothing. I don't understand the hype.
Well, Phillip Rivers, one thing you get interceptions. So if you like interceptions, you're going to like having Phillip Rivers. And as far as Tom Brady goes, he's going to go into a division if he goes to L.A. where he has to compete with Pat Mahomes twice a year. And he can't compete with him anymore. He needs to hang it up and be done with it.
Well, you're just supporting what I said. I'm trying to figure out why there's all this buzz for Phillip Rivers and Tom Brady when I think both of these guys are well
Should
past
I
the
apologize
point.
For agreeing with you?
Yes.
I'm sorry. I completely yes. agree with you.
Yes, you do. I don't get the hype, man. I don't get it at all. And finally, coming up in 43 minutes, this year's Hall of Fame inductees in Major League Baseball will be known. Bobby Abreu, Jason Giambi, Derek Jeter, Cliff Lee, among several players who will make their Baseball Writers Hall of Fame ballot debuts. Also debuting this year, Josh Beckett, Heath Bell, Eric Chavez, Adam Dunn, Chon Figgins, Rafael Furcal, Raul Ibanez, Paul Konerko, Carlos Pena, Brad Penny, J.J. puts Brian Roberts, Alfonso Soriano, and Jose Valverde. I don't think any of those guys on the second list are a big threat to get in, if I'm honest with you. But you also have Curt Schilling, 61%. Remember, you need to be 75% to get in. 61%. Roger Clemens, 59.5. Barry Bonds, 59.1. Larry Walker at 55%, his last year on the ballot. Who is going to get in? Is this the year the steroid guys get over the hump? It's going to be fascinating to see. I also think it's kind of a referendum on where we are with the Hall of Fame, and really interesting to see the baseball writers evaluate the careers of cheaters, of steroid users, of otherwise innocent players like Derek Jeter, who were never linked to the drugs. So who should get in, guys? Roger Clemens, Barry Bonds, Larry Walker, any of the above deserving of getting in? Curt Schilling has pissed off just about everyone in the sport. Do you keep him out a la Terrell Owens because he made people mad? What say you? Those are today's top five at five. Now it's your chance to chime in, which you can do at 1-844-477-3776. That's 1-844-GSP-ESPN is the number. The text line is there for you at 71307. Start your text with the word ESPN, and away you go. Twitter, where our policy is, if you are following us, we will get to your tweets live and on the air. Live and on the air. And you can do that at ESPN Upstate, at Mark Ryan on air, at Lonzo on Word, and you can also email the show Mark Ryan, M-A-R-C Ryan, at ESPNUpstate.com. All right, coming up next, I saw an amazing documentary last night about a local sports hero from our area. How, ladies and gentlemen, can baseball profit on gambling, yet continue to blacklist Shoeless Joe Jackson and Pete Rose? Shoeless Joe Jackson from right here in Greenville, South Carolina. That's next. This is Offsides, ESPN Upstate. It's Offsides with Mark Ryan right here on ESPN Upstate. Great to be here with you guys. You know, I was talking about, I don't understand the fascination. I get the names, Philip Rivers and Tom Brady. But folks, are Lonzo and I missing something here? Like, what is the excitement to signing 48-year-old Philip Rivers and Tom Brady? Where's the excitement there? Like, I don't understand. If Tom Brady couldn't do it with a defense that the New England had this year, number one defense in the NFL, if Philip Rivers couldn't do it in 37 years in San Diego and Los Angeles, what makes you think it's going to be any different now? And the towns that are being mentioned as associated with these guys are going nuts. Like, my friends in Tampa were going nuts at the thoughts of signing Philip Rivers today. I'm like, you really sure you're not better with Jameis Winston than Philip Rivers, a younger guy that you could develop? You're just going to stunt Jameis's development to bring in an old guy who's just going to turn over the ball a bunch and not do anything for you? I don't get it. Tom Brady spoke earlier today about the prospects of playing for a new team.
I'm open-minded about the process. You know, at the same time, I love playing football and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms.
He's gone, Lonzo. I mean, can't you hear it? Can't you read? Can you play that clip one more time? It's so obvious to me that he's gone, and he's just, you know, he's doing the whole let him down easy thing. You know, you get out of a breakup and you're a little bit worried that the breakup might be a little volatile. She may not take it very well. You might need a body armor suit, something like that. Tom Brady's sounding like a guy that's bracing for bad breakup behavior with the New England faithful.
I'm open-minded about the process. You know, at the same time, I love playing football and I want to continue to play and do a great job. So I'm looking forward to what's ahead. Whatever the future may bring, I'll embrace it with open arms.
He's gone. I just don't think he makes much of a difference, honestly. I don't see, you know, like, what team that he would go to, do you say, man, you know what? That elevates them. Tennessee? Does he maybe elevate Tennessee? I mean, that might be, that's as good a fit as any, right?
Well, Tennessee has a good defense and they have a good running game, so maybe. There's also pictures of him at the Conor McGregor fight with the owner of the Raiders, and supposedly they had a half-hour conversation while there, and people are out there excited about possibility of Tom Brady being in Vegas.
Excited about Tom Brady. Is he better than Derek Carr at this point?
I don't think so.
I don't think so either. Is Philip Rivers better than Jameis Winston at this point? I mean, I what am I missing here, folks? I don't understand. I get the sense, Lonzo, that you and I are going to get annoyed because I feel like this is going to be a huge story this offseason, and I feel like it's going to be much ado about nothing, and you and I are going to be saying, I told you so, come September, when their new teams suck.
Yeah, well, that's the thing. I hope they go to new teams and prove that we were right. I mean, go ahead. Bring them in. We know what they are, and you'll see what they are, and then everyone else will say, well, why didn't we see this?
It doesn't make a whole heck of a lot of sense. All right. I do want to share this with you guys. I saw this amazing documentary last night, and I was drawn to it because I know Shoeless Joe Jackson is from this area, right? And I know that there's a museum for Shoeless Joe Jackson in Greenville. Now, here at ESPN Upstate, we're called the Upstate because our show is for the entirety of the Upstate. It's for Clemson. It's for Anderson. It's for Spartanburg. It's for Greenville. It's for Simpsonville. It's for Five Forks. It's for Pelzer. And all parts in between, right? We do a show for the entirety of the Upstate. But Shoeless Joe Jackson is one of our own, you know? And you know, like, I kind of knew some of the basics of the Shoeless Joe Jackson story. But Lonzo, how much of that story do you know?
I mean, I heard a lot about it when I came here. There's a movie, I believe it's Eight Man Out, that's about it, with John Cusack in it. And I watched that a long time ago. I believe that he is buried in the cemetery that's close, or he was, the cemetery that's right next to the well.
So I'm watching ESPN last night, and they have this documentary on. And it's about Shoeless Joe Jackson not being in the Hall of Fame. It's about Pete Rose not being in the Hall of Fame. And it poses the question, now that gambling is legalized and now that Major League Baseball is very publicly wanting to profit on all the gambling going on baseball games, is it time to back up on these lifetime bans from these guys that have been involved in it, right? Now, Shoeless Joe Jackson, here's the deal. Shoeless Joe Jackson accepted in 1919 $5,000. He was given $5,000 to throw a World Series as a member of the Black Sox against the Reds, right? Was given $5,000. Shoeless Joe Jackson says he accepted the money to throw the World Series, but did not change his effort in any way, shape, or form. So he just hustled the person that gave him the money, is what he said. What did Shoeless Joe Jackson do in that World Series? He batted .375. Okay? Lonzo, there have been fewer than 10 seasons in Major League Baseball history where hitters have batted over .375. So if the guy's throwing the World Series, he would be playing a hell of a lot worse than batting .375 and hitting the only home run for his team in the entire World Series. Back then, the World Series used to be best out of nine, so it was the first to win five games, and his team lost the World Series 5-3, and he was banned for life from baseball, banned for life, violated the cardinal sin. But check this out. A couple years ago, in 1989, they were reopening the case to Shoeless Joe Jackson. They were having meetings about him at post-mortem after he passed away right here in Greenville, South Carolina. And they were looking into, is it now time that we put this past us? And what happened within a couple months? The Pete Rose gambling thing happened. It was the worst possible timing for Shoeless Joe Jackson and the Shoeless Joe Jackson family. This from the documentary. A year and a half after Pete Rose's lifetime ban was instituted, the Hall of Fame's board of directors passed a new rule that any player on baseball's ineligible list would be considered for Cooperstown, right? So any player that was on baseball's ineligible list would be considered for Cooperstown. Shoeless Joe Jackson is on the ineligible list. But because of all of the noise of gambling and Pete Rose, baseball didn't want that noise again. They didn't want all that negative attention surrounding what they consider their hallowed ground, the unbreakable rule of gambling, because it affects the integrity of the game. My question to you guys is simply this: how can baseball profit on gambling with legalized gambling now today available in many states? How can they be openly profiting on gambling, yet in the same breath continuing to blacklist Shoeless Joe Jackson and Pete Rose? Now, in this documentary, Pete Rose was interviewed, and he said to the interviewee, he said, please tell me what's worse. Okay, what's worse between throwing a World Series that you're playing in or betting on my own team to win games? Okay, I'm gonna not try in the World Series because I'm being paid, or I'm going to bet on my own team to win. And I'm thinking to myself, good point, Pete. Then he says, what's worse, injecting illegal drugs in my body by which I can produce superhuman statistics, or betting on my own team to win games? What's worse? And so you see, the problem with Pete Rose is that Pete Rose lied about it between 1989 and 2004, years upon years upon years of lying, when everybody knew, when all the evidence said that, they had telephone records, two bookies from his phone in the Cincinnati Reds dugout. And his fans were so diehard. Ladies and gentlemen, my grandmother passed away. My mom's mother passed away telling me that Pete Rose is innocent. Okay? Pete Rose is innocent. He's innocent. And it was just unbelievable. Those people that were in Pete's corner, they would hear nothing to the contrary, despite the fact that the evidence, there was as much evidence that Pete Rose was guilty of gambling as O.J. Simpson is guilty of murder. And somehow O.J. Simpson still walked. And somehow Pete Rose was still walking in the minds of his fans. And because he lied for 15 years, the Baseball Writers Association gives him the figurative middle finger. Says, screw you. Says, you lied to us. You pointed the finger at us. We got so much hate mail and hateful phone calls and people saying bad things about the game because of what we did to you, and what we did to you was justified. But what do you do with Shoeless Joe Jackson today? What do you do with Shoeless Joe Jackson today, a sports hero from this particular area? You know, like, what becomes of Shoeless Joe? Because whereas he may not be able to enjoy, depending on what you believe about the afterlife, he may or may not be looking down and seeing what's becoming of his case. But certainly his family and his descendants and those that care about him, and the woman who runs the museum here in Greenville, South Carolina, for Shoeless Joe Jackson, certainly they would love to see him in the Hall of Fame. If you're a baseball writer, what do you do with Shoeless Joe Jackson? Is it time that baseball bury that hatchet? Any player, a year and a half after Pete Rose's lifetime ban, any player on baseball's ineligible list would be considered for Cooperstown. Is it time that baseball do that with Shoeless Joe?
Here's the problem.
Okay, if we can hold this, I'd like to continue this on the flip side. This is Offsides with Mark Ryan, ESPN Upstate. So Mama and Papa Ryan are the beacons of fairness. And I called them during the break and I said, Mom and Dad, I need a verdict as to whether or not I have paid up the bet, because Lonzo seems to be giving me credit for trying here, trying to grow a mustache as I lost the bet in our football picks with Lonzo. I've limited mustache growing ability, and I have this razor, as this electric razor that you can hear on the air here. This is not an adult toy, ladies and gentlemen. This is a razor, it's you do the best you can with it, right? And so I've posted a picture on our Facebook page, ESPN Upstate on the Facebook page, and I said, folks, I'm doing the best I can here. Do I get credit for paying up the bet? And James Howell says it's crooked. So I count that as a yes because it would be the mustache. Kevin Jordan says, dude, never grow that thing again. I'm taking that as a yes. Scott Mumford posts a GIF of Kevin Hart, and he says, say what? I'm taking that as a yes. And then Dusty Clark gives me a GIF of Will Ferrell as Anchorman, simply nodding his head and saying yes. So I believe that the folks, and I've sent the picture to mom and dad as well, you know, I let them know. I said, hey, guys, listen, I need to know if I get credit here for paying up the bet because I really can't grow a mustache. Like I'm not overly talented in this department. You know, I'm doing the best I can with what I got here. All right. I'm legitimately doing the best I can with what I've got. So we will see what mom and dad have, mom and Papa Ryan have to say about whether I in fact have paid off the bet or not. Do appreciate it. Appreciate the support. Lonzo seems to be giving me the pat on the back, the win one for the Gipper speech, the I'm proud of you for trying speech. But let's
you
just
know
say,
what? I have never seen anyone try so hard to only halfway pay a bet in my entire life. Now you're looking at the Facebook page, the page where you took the picture off that I put that clearly depicted what you had. And put on one where you're hiding what you still can't get rid of with that, no matter how many times you use.
You're talking about under the chin?
And I will tell you that my Twitter says something totally different, and you know that. And a lot of these guys are guys who listen to this show and call in all the time, and they're not on your side.
I you know, those people who are fans of me seem to be on my side. Those people who are fans of you seem to be on your side, and as you folks can hear, I am trying to do whatever I can.
And how low can you go? You want to get your mom and dad in on this because you know that I love your mom and dad.
No.
And I'm going to be extra nice to your mom and dad because they're good people. I don't know what happened to you.
Mom and dad are going to shoot straight. I promise you they're going to shoot straight. All right? I promise you. All right?
It's called a razor, man.
Listen, this is what I got. I got an electric razor. All right? I got an electric razor.
I'm bringing
razor.
In an assortment of razors
please,
tomorrow,
please
and you can take
that.
Your pick. Why?
Please don't do that. Please
Why?
Don't do that.
Because then you don't have an excuse
Please
anymore.
Don't do that. Don't do that to me. Let's get to David, who's up next on the show. We teased the segment by saying, by posing the following question, and I was watching this documentary last night on Shoeless Joe Jackson and Pete Rose and the juxtaposition between the two and how Pete Rose unknowingly screwed Shoeless Joe Jackson over. Baseball was about to turn the other cheek on what he did in 1919, accepting money to throw a World Series, but then playing great in that World Series, trying to win the World Series. You wonder if he changed his mind. You wonder if he just intended to hustle the guy who gave him the money. But be that as it may, my question is, how can baseball profit on gambling, yet continue to blacklist Shoeless Joe Jackson? Okay, and Pete Rose, for that matter. Let's get to David, who's up first on the show. David, thanks for the call, bud. You're offsides. We're talking about one of the upstate's own, Shoeless Joe Jackson.
Shoeless Joe Jackson, you were right. He's not buried at the cemetery near the well. He's buried at the cemetery where White Hampton and Pleasantburg Drive is.
Okay, fantastic.
I'm on cemetery. I've been to his grave.
Okay, fantastic. See, this is insight that I really appreciate as somebody in me who's only been here a year. I look forward to check. Wait a minute. He wasn't done, Lonzo?
Yeah, he was. That's what he wanted to say.
Oh, but I wanted to talk about, you know, like what baseball's doing with him and so on and so forth. Like so you had a point that you wanted to make, Lonzo.
I completely forgot because you just drove the bus over me. My bad.
How can baseball profit on gambling, yet continue to blacklist Shoeless Joe Jackson?
All right,
and
here's
Pete
what
Rose?
It comes down to. You got these haughty writers for baseball, these snooty writers for baseball who try to act like this game is so pure, and that's why they're keeping them out, when everyone knows that it's full of cheating. There's cheating everywhere. Every sport has it. But baseball, the writers think that they're saving the integrity of the game, and I don't get it. Are they blind? Do they not see what everyone else sees? The steroid guys, whether you like it or not, you can't prove who did it and who didn't do it. I think those guys need to be in. I, of course, think Pete Rose should be in. Shoeless Joe, as you pointed out, He played pretty good for someone who was trying to throw a game. I think he should be in too. Hall of Fames, I mean, they're fun to go and look at and everything, and I realize that these guys are preserved for history, but for the most part, people only care about it once a year. That's it. Let them in.
But what message are you sending if you do let him in, Lonzo? What message are you sending if you do let known steroid abusers in? Let me tell you one thing about Barry Bonds.
Find everybody in the NFL Hall of Fame who didn't have steroids. I mean, point out the guys who did not. Point out the guys who did. NFL, they don't care. We don't care.
I get what you're saying, but I would also, my counterpoint to that would be, you don't know who used and you didn't know who didn't use. And so you do the best that you can to legislate fairly. But if you know conclusively that a guy used, and so the thing with Barry Bonds is might be one of, if not the most talented players ever to play in Major League Baseball. But Lonzo, you know, one of the parts of our anatomy that does not grow, you know, our tummies grow when we age. One thing that doesn't grow when we age is our skull size. And Barry Bonds' hat size changed when he started using steroids. He required a bigger hat. That just doesn't happen to human beings that are behaving normally like human beings. And there is proof on Roger Clemens, and there's proof on Rafael Palmeiro, and there's proof on Barry Bonds. And so, you know, yes, you can say, how do you know who's cheating? How do you know who isn't cheating? Let them all in. But isn't the standard a little bit different if you know conclusively that these guys used? I mean, don't you have to look at it outside looking in and say, you know, what do we want the Hall of Fame to be? Do we want to reward known cheaters? Like, what do you want the Hall of Fame to be? Right? And then, as it pertains to Shoeless Joe Jackson, what do you do with Shoeless Joe? You know, like, okay, in 1919, Lonzo, he accepted money to throw a World Series, but then he performed admirably in said World Series. Should he be blacklisted from the Hall of Fame for life because of accepting money to throw the World Series in 1919? What do you think?
I just said, yes, he should be in.
Should be in. Shoeless Joe Jackson should be in. You know, it's. I think so many people have done so many bad things that, you know, and the guy played so well in the World Series that he allegedly accepted money to throw. It's just hard for me to believe that you're going to keep a guy out all of this time. A check on the text line. Not a bad stash. Sure looks creepy as all get out. Definitely could have kept the stubbles up a little bit. Well, because Major League Baseball sucks, Mark Ryan, might be the worst league in the pros by far. Look at where we are with the perception of Major League Baseball today. Look at where we are in terms of the reputation of this league, you know, and the credibility of it. What has happened to this cherished game between strikes and steroids and stealing signs? And you got a Hall of Fame that doesn't have the home run king in it. You have a Hall of Fame that doesn't have the hits king in it. It doesn't make any sense, man. This is Offsides. Coming up next, a star college football player did something very interesting for the Senior Bowl. Did you see it? Is it Onsides or Offsides? We'll tackle that next, right here on Offsides, ESPN Upstate. All right, so we're keeping it real here about the mustache debate here on the show. Jeff Pantridge, who is auditioning for the open midday show slot, says, looks good, bud. Just make sure you don't get within 1,000 feet of any schools. Penny Davenport, most of the time is my friend. On this one, she is not. She goes, no, you need to be clean shaven. Penny, I'm using what I got. Okay. You hear this, Penny? I'm using what I got. All right. I'm going over my face 100 million times. All right. I'm doing the best of my, with everything I got here. Okay. The rest of the people, they seem to be in line. They're like, yeah, Mark, that's definitely, That's definitely a mustache. So,
by the way, if you agree with me, our address is 25 Garlington Road. If you'd like to drop by an unused, unopened razor for Mark Ryan, just put it in care of Mark Ryan when you give it to the people at the desk, and I'm sure they'll make sure that he gets it.
Listen, there are certain times, Lonzo, where I'm convinced that you are for my greater good and for my well-being. This would not be one of those times. This would not be one of those times. So I don't know if you guys saw this, but Jalen Hurts is at the Senior Bowl right now, right? And Senior Bowl, a great opportunity for guys to improve their draft stock, to impress NFL coaches. All 32 NFL teams have scouts at the Senior Bowl, and you know, you don't normally see anymore the very, very top of the line prospects at the Senior Bowl. Obviously, you're not going to see Tua due to his injury, but Joe Burrow doesn't do the Senior Bowl. Justin Herbert doesn't do the Senior Bowl. The very top of the line guys don't do the Senior Bowl. Kind of the highest end guys that you see participating in the Senior Bowl is a guy that we're talking about right here, and that is, of course, Jalen Hurts. Now, if Jalen Hurts were to, you know, if this were, you know how in professional sports, if you go into the Hall of Fame, you retire as a member of a certain team, right? And I always think this is tough for players because you alienate part of the fan base. What if you had a 12-year NFL career and you played 6 years one place, 6 years another, and were equally great in both? What team do you choose? You're going to be hurting the fan base. Jalen Hurts' Senior Bowl helmet, folks, is half Oklahoma and half Alabama, which you can do. Why? Because Oklahoma and Alabama have exactly the same colors. The only thing different is the insignia, right? You got the cursive A for Alabama. You've got the paperclip for Oklahoma. That's what their logo looks like, a paperclip, right? So it's really interesting to me. Lonzo, I wanted to bring you into this because I don't know how this is going to play among Alabama fans. I don't know how this is going to play among Oklahoma fans. The split helmet, a new look in college football. Is this onsides or offsides for Jalen Hurts?
I think it's onside because the Senior Bowl is more about you. It's not about the teams you played for. I mean, so it's paying homage to both teams that let you play for them, and I don't have a problem with it because it's more about you and your talents than it is the schools you played for.
Is that so? Is that what you believe? Okay. You know, it's interesting, and I think the Senior Bowl is going to be fascinating to see kind of who elevates their stock this year. Javon Kinlaw is at the Senior Bowl. By the way, you know, most of the time I don't do this, but in this particular instance, the best thing we heard today is audio from Javon Kinlaw, and it's absolutely amazing. It is tremendous. It is an incredible story of perseverance, and we're going to share Javon Kinlaw's story as the best thing we heard today, which is coming your way 55 minutes from right now. As for us here on the show, it is time for Either Or. It is 6 p.m. We start the 6 o'clock hour with Either Or, and we will get to Either Or right on the flip side. This is the show that gives you both sides. It's Offsides, right here on ESPN Upstate.